Where'd you get the name?
Just kidding.
You guys Mexican?
Okay.
Aggie's been through at least one of my interviews before,
yes,
so she knows what I do. It's pretty ridiculous. So let's start with, why don't we introduce ourselves? I know who I am, so.
Hello there, I'm Oliver from Gomez.
I'm Tom from Gomez.
So you're both in the same band, so that's a start.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Happy coincidence.
So I'm gonna ask kind of dumb questions and then serious stuff. But I mean, we'll start with a serious one. You've been around since 96. See, now that was not one of the questions on your website. I didn't ask you how long you've been around. I've stated a fact.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is, you know, there's what I'm finding that's an amazing thing, you know, like you take the Killers, right? The Killers from Las Vegas, they go over there, they make it. But then there's the delays and they come over here and ask me if anybody, you know, they're becoming huge over there. Ask me how many people are really actually regularly playing the delays over here in America. And the answer is, you know, some specialty shows, some of the college stations, but not the Cognoscenti, not the ones that help you sell a million records.
Yeah.
Last I knew, about 3 months ago, the Thrills had sold 85,000 units. It's probably up to, I don't know how much now. But here in America, as opposed to over there, that's not gold. You know, you know, it's not the days of, you know, whoever you want to pick selling a million records. So do you feel that Split the Difference is the first record that's really breaking through here?
Either one of you can answer that, or you can both answer that.
Do you care? would be the second part of that question.
I think we definitely care. I mean, it's the first time, I think, that the whole the radio thing's kind of being picked up for one of our songs, which is kind of unusual. Because we didn't really sort of push that song particularly. We were concentrating on other singles.
And that's Nothing, right?
Yeah, Nothing is Wrong. And it's kind of, you know, it's great to kind of see that happening. It's kind of weird. It's kind of just doing its own thing. And people are picking it up and playing it because they want to. Because
there was no single. I don't think there's a single, right?
There were singles in the UK, obviously.
Here.
No. So it's more a question of just promoting the record, you know. And we've been very lucky to be sort of blessed with a bunch of people who were working hard to make people play it, you know, really. Because I think it's kind of a silly, you know, when you've been around for as long as we have, you kind of get philosophical about whether people...
Philosophical or pissed?
Not pissed, no, I don't think so, because, I mean, we still get to make records, you know.
Right,
which is ultimately...
And you're on a real label.
Yeah, and we still get to tour the world and have a jolly good time, by all accounts.
Right.
And so... It's not really about breaking through. It's just when you care enough about something, you want other people to care too, you know, I think.
Well, but that shows in the music too, and I don't say that on all interviews, although we only interview people for the show. Even, you know, the folks at the record companies know the only people we go after are people who are actually playing.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you can look at the wall here and you'll see some of the people we've interviewed. You know, The Darkness came to town, and it was actually Katie, our producer, who said, "You've got to hear these guys." And I thought they were hilarious.
Right, yeah.
I mean, when I interviewed Justin, that's pretty much what we said. We said, "You guys, you know what you're doing. You're funny."
Yeah,
and he said, "Of course we know what we're doing. We're not stupid here,
yeah.
You know." So there's two parts of this. There's making really great music, and then there's getting it to people. And that's kind of the point of my question is, do you feel like America's now, the music's actually getting to people, because isn't that why you do it, other than having a jolly good time touring and seeing the world?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, we do. I think it is starting to get through to people, slowly but surely. The slow osmosis is perhaps speeding up a little bit. You know, it's
I mean, has anything really changed in terms of the music, what you're doing? Do you feel like you? Because I know I read that you. And again, I'm probably skipping my questions here, but I never read them anyway. You had a lot of songs to choose from to make this album. There was a lot of material, right?
Yeah. I mean, this album was sort of, more of a choice. We could have picked a totally different album if we wanted to for this, you know. This doesn't really kind of show what we were up to in, like, the last year kind of thing, you know. And it was just, we felt as though we wanted to make a record, like, you know, sort of more up-tempo, slightly more sort of heavier kind of side of us, and something more cohesive, and that's about as much as we thought about it. You know, we never kind of started with an idea or anything like that. Just kind of a lot of our songwriting individually and together kind of came out like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It was just it's a focused record. It's a more considered kind of a thing, I think, I suppose, in a way.
And it shows.
Yeah, I think it shows. I think you can hear it. We just wanted to kind of stamp, I don't know what the right word, we needed to sort of clarify what we were to people, I think, in a way, and this record was an easy way of doing it, you know, just getting a few great songs in a row and playing them as well as we possibly could, which I think is ultimately all this record is, in a way, whereas all the previous records have been more...
No, but it's beautiful. I mean, yeah. It's beautifully mixed. It's beautifully created. There's a lot of love and care. How long did you spend in the studio to put this lovely lovely album together?
I don't know. We
Gosh, that was the answer right there. Gosh.
I don't know. We started last year in about February, something like that. We built the studio, and... We were kind of doing it all the way through until about, I don't know, the summertime, late summer.
I don't think we had a finished copy of the record till October. So
there's a lot of care and a lot of thoughtfulness behind. Not that there wasn't between, you know, your other albums, but
the premise was we started and we weren't going to finish until we knew we had a great record. That's about it, you know.
What a concept. And the pressure from the folks at the record company.
Well, this is we were sadly not blessed anymore with Hut Records, but we were in a small stable in Britain called Hut Recordings, which the Verve are from, and Musique and Placebo and Pumpkins used to be there, and the Music, and we kind of had. In there, it doesn't exist anymore, but we kind of had a carte blanche, I guess, to do what the hell we liked, which was...
Lovely.
Well, it was unbelievable, really. I mean, that I don't think exists on planet Earth in many places anymore. And, you know, we got A&R'd in so much as Dave would say to Dave Boyd, who used to run Hut Recordings, would say, you know, that one's crap. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of, that was it, really.
That sums it up.
Yeah.
The title, because it was, I'm doing my bad guess at the title. Right. Because you had so many selections, is that how you split the difference, or did I totally blow it?
You didn't totally blow it. It close. You're close. I mean, the thing is, we just.
I'll settle for close. Close is good for me.
We ended up, we were sat in a studio, in a radio studio in, I don't know where that we were, Washington or.
Boston,
maybe, and someone said split the difference, which you say a million times in a recording situation, because mm-hmm. to split the levels.
Yes, exactly.
And it was just like, oh, that, you know, it just kind of resonated.
Well, but it's true, because in recording studio, having been a recording engineer, that split the difference is the difference between a perfect mix and the mix that you suddenly hear and you say, we should have made the guitar that much louder, or the vocal that much lower, or you know, or the verb that much, whatever it may be. And it's the difference between a perfect record and a record that you suddenly say, I didn't do it right.
Yeah. I think that was it, the nature of what we do, because we're so many songwriters in the band, so many singers. It's the nature of our music is a compromise, you know, and people in music, a lot of artists tend to treat the word compromise like it's a dirty word, because it, you know, it.
No, but that says security, though. That says you know who you are.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully that's what it says, and it also means that the quality control is very, very high.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's kind of one thing we've got a lot better at nowadays is that you can speak to each other and tell each other that something's really, really crap, and there's no offense there, kind of thing, you know what I mean? Or nobody else joins in with a song and it's just left behind, kind of thing. You know, we're kind of good at accepting each other's point of view now.
You think the Mercury Prize is cooler because Gomez and the Darkness can win it at the same time? You think it's cooler than the Grammys? Because, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I mean, it's a big deal over there. Over here, you know, record comes out a year later and it's like, oh, won the Mercury Prize. But the fact that there can be such a wide variety of styles, and of course the Grammys have now added alternative rock as a category. Woohoo! But
in theory, it's an award for innovation. So it's not actually an award
for a genre
or a concept.
But they are
or
very open to that, though, aren't they? That is a good side to the prize, I guess. You know,
I mean, they listen to everything. I mean, there's classical albums in there and folk albums in there. And
it gets a bit pretentious though at times when they are like clutching at a certain. They do go down certain routes to grab somebody.
You look at who's on the committee, and it is, you know, there's musicologists, and mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be fairly pretentious. Yes. You know what I mean? It's whatever you do about it.
Well, I met somebody. I went to a showcase in LA at the Viper Room, which is a whole other story in itself. They still use smoke on stage there, the bands. In fact, I was talking to a band who did one recently, and they said, yeah, it's amazing, they pump out smoke, and it's part of the showcase, and it's a requirement, and they also do the light thing, the disco light thing. And you're a band doing a showcase at the Viper Room, and you are stuck. 110 record company executives, and you've got the smoke, and they don't give you a choice. And the stage kind of is, you know, circular, and the curtains open, and it's almost like they might as well just be throwing bottles at you like an Animal House or something. Yeah. It's really kind of scary.
I like the smoke. I don't think you should come down too hard on the smoke.
Oh, but this poor vocalist, it's the second showcase with this poor vocalist who shall go nameless from Norway, and she came out, and they don't, and what I found out from the bands is they don't tell you. You go on stage, you plug in, the curtains open, and the smoke happens.
Right, right.
I've talked about this on my show a lot and gotten a lot of phone calls. In fact, I've gotten my listeners to write the Viper Room saying, kill the smoke. but I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to Virgin. Tell me a little bit. I think I'm allowed to ask you that one. That one isn't on your website, the how you got the record deal.
Well, that's it.
I am allowed to ask that one. Was that one? That one's legal. Okay.
Back in the early night, it sort of goes back to the early night when Richard Branson still owned Virgin. He got basically David Boyd, who ran Hot Recordings. He used to work for Rough Trade.
Uh-huh. Well, I was just talking to 10 minutes ago, trying to get the Libertines. As a matter of fact, they haven't released here yet.
Well, really, they haven't released it.
No. In fact, he said, well, I could sneak you a bootleg of it. Yeah, can you believe that? And I'll get to that question in a second, too. We'll talk about, that's my next question. I'm going ahead of myself. I was going to ask you about how long it takes things to get here.
Yeah, no, where was I? Yeah, so he went and found him at Rough Trade and got him to start an alternative label within Virgin called Hut Recordings, which basically operated as an independent label within Virgin. Richard just funded it.
That's terrific.
So,
opportunity for younger, little less,
less
rigor, less, to the whole thing.
Less tubular bells and more fuzzy guitars.
I almost pulled out tubular bell. I was thinking of playing that, actually. It's funny you mentioned that. Every seventh show, I'm doing it on this Friday night, I play all singles. Yeah. And you know, and you go through thousands of 45s, and tubular bells came out, and I said, find a clip from The Exorcist, and less tubular bells. What a reference. But how early does your music come out there before it ever hits our shores?
It comes out simultaneously.
Well, that would be rare, because I'll tell you what, the delays, Keen, I mean, you could name a ton of them, mm-hmm. take forever.
Right.
Some of them, you got to be happy when they get delayed, though, haven't you?
Some of them, well, we won't go there. Yeah. The rigors of getting on, you know, again with the freedom, the rigors of getting on here are a whole different story. If we don't like the music, it doesn't really matter.
No, I know, but that's, you know, there's always an upside to everything, you know.
Yeah, thank you for the... But it does, it really does. You know, the Libertine is a perfect example. Yeah. Of course, by the time this interview airs, it'll be 2 weeks from now or whatever, and I'll have them, and my listeners will call them and say, you played them already, you idiot. What are you talking about?
Yeah, half that band will probably be dead by the time you finally probably get it played,
Oh, the illustration on the album cover, I'll change my tone of voice, is very 70s psychedelic.
Yeah, it is.
So since the radio and folks can't see it, can we do a deep psychological analysis of what it all means?
our friend Jim Stotten did it. He does. He draws pictures with felt tips and biros.
Wow.
And
not a computer in the bunch.
Straight lines. Just spends hours just drawing straight lines.
But there's some pretty. If you stare at that long enough, you can see Nirvana in there. I mean, you know, not the band.
Yeah. The original thing he had was the sort of like a lion's kind of face with these kind of wings and all this kind of trippy stuff going on, and then
trippy's a good word.
And then he started merging all our faces into it and stuff, and then there's...
It was funny, really, because it just kind of, it fitted with what... I mean, ultimately, we're a Merseyside band, and
I think that's why I love you. Jerry and the Pacemakers, like, make it on my show all the time.
Right.
They just do. I'm not embarrassed to play Ferry Cross the Mersey. I think that's hot stuff.
Right.
Don't play You'll Never Walk Alone there.
No. It's going to be all right.
That's
is good.
A showstopper.
It's going to be all right. It's good, though. That's a great 2 minutes. That's a great 2 minutes of power pop. But
you're fair enough. We're Evertonians, though, so it would repulse us.
You never walk alone. Yeah. I don't know. I think that the speakers would blow all over San Francisco.
Yeah, that would kind of suck.
You'd hear the explosions around. You can just hear it outside the radio station. What's that, fireworks? No, it's Jerry and the Pacemaker singing You Never Walked Alone. You realize now I'm going to put a snippet, when I edit the interview, snippet of that's going right there. So people will just fade it under at that appropriate moment so people can know what we're talking about. For those who haven't had the pleasure.
Yes, no, the pleasure.
Poor Jerry.
Jerry.
Back to the album.
Back to where we were, yeah.
This is the way these discussions go. Yeah.
And there's kind of, I suppose there's a sort of new psychedelic movement, if you like, in Britain, which is good.
The Coral
and the Zootons.
Played the Zootons for the first time the other night. We got that we got from England. Cool stuff.
Brilliant stuff. They're excellent.
Really fun
stuff. We've played with them a couple of times.
Have you?
Yeah.
What are they like? Are they cool?
They're cool kids, Scouse kids.
And they're very good live. Very, very good live.
I heard they're wonderful.
They're way better live than the record, and the record's pretty good.
And the record's good, and again, the record's not due out here for, I think, 2008.
Really, something like that.
They actually went out of their way to send me an import because they said, this is you, and you're going to be the first one who's just going to jump on it within seconds.
Okay.
And the second, put it in the car, and an hour later I was on the air, and there it was.
The pressure,
that's what I played. That's the single that they're going to push.
Yeah, but that's an excellent tune.
It is, it's great. It's great. Yeah. Plus, you know, they open up with We're the Zootons. I mean, it's like the Monkees, you know?
Yeah.
So I this is my favorite thing to do. There's a website. My listeners always think that I'm nuts for doing this, but there's a website called allmusic.com. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's when somebody doesn't know anything about music and they want to sound intelligent and they're like going to see a band and they want to impress their girlfriend or their date or whoever it is, they'll go to allmusic.com and say, well, did you know that Gomez started in 1493 and they named their band after a guy named Igor Gomez? And but what they do is they divide you up into genre, moods and styles.
All right.
I'm about to read you, and I've done this for more people than I can even imagine. Okay. I'm about to read, well, your genre is easy. Your genre.
Okay.
You are rock. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right.
That's your genre. You're not Lithuanian folk songs, in case you were wondering. Allow me to tell you your style, the moods I'll say for last, and then I just want your reaction to you, particularly your moods.
Okay.
You are experimental, you are rock, you are British trad rock, which I think is short for traditional, adult, alternative, pop rock, indie rock, Brit pop, alternative, and pop rock, which are not the things you put in your mouth and blow up.
Uh-huh.
But my favorite are your moods. So I'm going to look at the two of you and see if these are your moods. You are ambitious, fun, gleeful, boisterous, playful, and brash. You are all of these things. Would you like ambitious, fun, gleeful, boisterous, playful, and brash? Which one would you like to be?
I like playful. I like playful's good. Yeah. Ambitious. Ambitious, yeah.
You've also, okay, you can be, so he's got playful and ambitious taken, so what's left for you?
I think I'll take boisterous just because it just looks good written down.
Take this with you.
Thank you.
This way you know who you are.
I like the adult alternative. I don't know what that means, as opposed to alternative to anybody else.
Children.
Yeah.
An adult alternative would be children.
Yeah.
My 3-year-old daughter, you know, hears Gomez and likes you.
Right, cool.
So you're all set.
That's all right.
You get the younger demo, your Bay City Rollers land, you know?
Absolutely, no.
Your uncle, was it Otto?
Yeah, Uncle Otto came to a show. He's 93 when he came to a show. We had to fill his ears with wet tissue.
So that would, adult alternative could also be like old folks.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're in a wheelchair, Gomez is for you.
Definitely.
You know, if you can't see them or hear them, you'll love them.
Yeah, exactly.
We actually brought about contractions in a pregnant woman as well, so I think that's pretty.
I've been accused of many things, but that's a new one on me.
Yeah. I also actually asked a couple to wed from the stage as well.
That was Detroit.
Yeah, I kind of felt like we're turning into one of those kind of weddings and funerals bands, you know. Although not many bands play funerals these days, you find.
Yeah.
So I'm making a Gomez sandwich, and what we do here is we love to play, you know, because we have an hour to do this interview, which means I can put lots of music in on it. Just, you know, I'm not obligated to the 10-minute, you know, the whole thing's going on as we speak it with lots of music. So I'm making a Gomez sandwich with two of your songs as the bread, and then we've got lots of ingredients, you know, on the inside. from both of you, tell me what you'd want to hear as the and it could be anything. I mean, you wouldn't believe the mix of things that we've been asked for. So just off the top of your head, who would you like to have in between, you know, and let's do it this way. Why don't you each pick a tune and then tell me what comes after, and then you pick the other tune and you can, you know, kind of close the sandwich and make the set.
Wow, okay.
Which is always fun. We've had some amazing segues out of this, let me tell you. Yeah. It's a little tricky.
There's so much you could have. It's impossible, isn't it?
So go ahead. Whatever comes to your head. Your free form.
Free form. I don't know. Well, let me think. What could we have? We could have anything.
Yes, you could.
This is impossible when you can have anything. You can have anything. You
I have fulfilled the dreams of Gomez, ladies and gentlemen. Damn proud.
I don't know.
That. You can have anything.
Yeah, we can have anything.
By the way, that was joy. I think that was joyful.
Yeah, was that joyful?
That was your mood with joyful.
Or was that gleeful?
That was a gleeful. Gleeful moment. But no brash. There's nothing brash here.
Or boisterous.
So we can throw anything in between it, basically.
Anything.
So what do you want to put at the top and the bottom? What kind of bread do you want? That's the kind of thing you've got to work with first, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, are we going for something?
We might a baguette.
Baguette.
A baguette.
Really?
Baguette.
Yeah.
Which song of yours is a baguette? if your song was a baguette, and we'll say this, make sure this gets on the air, that our friend from Virgin here, she immediately, and I'll send you a copy of this, Aggie, when it comes out, and I will
Aggie's
not edit this.
Her name is actually Baguette.
Yeah, that Aggie from Virgin. Aggie from Virgin, the second she heard baguette, the look on her face was completely... And no, the boys didn't go there, Aggie. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. What's the baguette?
What's the baguette?
It's like a code word. Excuse me, could you pass the baguette?
It's tough. So how many songs are we looking for here?
Oh, well, the interview will end up being a half hour, so we've got lots of music.
So oh, right. Okay, so we can just keep going. We should have all kinds of things then.
You'll Never Walk Alone by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Obviously, has already made it in there.
Yes.
A surefire one. What about... gosh. It's very hard, this. White Noise by Captain Beefheart.
Captain Beefheart's cool.
Let's have him in there.
Excellent.
Let's have some Cornelius.
Let's have... something off Point... Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
Let's have some Ooh La La by The Faces.
Just got the record company send me their new five. You've seen there's a five CD.
Uh-huh.
And I can say it because they're a friend on Rhino. Five CD, Best of The Faces, all remastered.
Okay,
oh, I love Ooh La La. Now, we're going to Ooh La La, not Silicone Grown or anything like that, which would go back to the baguette.
Yeah, we'd go back to the baguette.
Yes.
Do you know the Iron Clute stuff?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great song on a recent record called Proof. That is.
Dig it up?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Maybe some Smog.
Oh, what? Now, am I going obscure or am I going cold blooded old times? Or am I going obscure on Smog?
Now, what's that track called?
Cold Blooded Old Times was the one in High Fidelity.
What's that tune? You know? The one that goes. It has that rhythm that runs all the way through it. Sounds kind of like a
I don't know what the track is called.
Like a Spirit of Eden type song.
Yeah. I can't remember that track is
called. Well, we'll get our gang to try to dig it up.
We could have Spirit of Eden as well.
Yeah.
We could have some Talk Talk.
Can't go wrong with Talk Talk.
Maybe some.
Being a good mom.
Have you got any Upsetters or anything like that?
I can dig it up.
Desmond Dekker or something
Desmond
like
Dekker.
That.
Played Israelites a while back. That was fun.
Cool.
People called up. Okay, they're giving us one more.
Green Green by Dr. John.
Yeah, and there's a new Dr. John out, you know.
Really?
Brand new. It's really hot.
Yeah.
We got an advance on it. Okay. So, just out of curiosity, all those things we put in your bread, are you listening? What's in the bus on tour? It'll be the last question. Anything you're listening to that you're knocked out by?
We've got our iPods at the moment. Nearly everybody's got one, so it's...
That's great.
We're talking thousands of tunes, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot of time we're going to random now.
Okay, let me ask you, this is a new way to ask the question. Anything on anybody's iPod in the band that you look at each other and say, what are you thinking?
Yeah. We've had a lot recently. We've had Foreigner recently.
Foreigner.
Which Foreigner? I want to know what love is.
Yeah.
Ooh, love it. I guessed it too. That's. Do you know that we have things that, you know, easy listening stations here in town, and you know you'll pass by them, and my daughter's nanny keeps it on all day, and I passed by and I heard that on, and I immediately turned it up and said, "What's the matter?" I said, "My daughter cannot be subjected to that. She cannot be. I'm sorry. She listens to Blondie. She is not. She's three. She can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not allowed."
Yeah, we've had some.
Anything else?
I've had Ghostbusters as well.
Ghostbusters is good. There you go.
The Reflex by Duran Duran.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not Duran Duran. I mean, they're back together. I think that's okay.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that out of the Hall of Shame.
Although that is their worst. That's got to be one of their, you know, the that's pretty bad.
We like the Footloose soundtrack as well. That's,
can't go wrong with that.
Dancing Between the Sheets by Shalimar.
Oh my God, this is on the Footloose soundtrack. Yeah. I know. Scarily enough, I still have a copy of that.
Yeah.
You know, you keep that stuff because it's good
Did you know that Kenny Loggins married his colonic irrigationist?
That is a great close for the interview right there. We need not go any further than that.
I want to turn it into a stage musical, Kenny Loggins and the Colonic Irrigationist.
It'd be massive.
Wouldn't it be great? The songs of Kenny Loggins and a love story and an enema.